You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
The junction at Camden Town is always thronging. Traffic, shouts, buskers, boozers, thousands moving through. Michael was sitting in the sun with two friends in his rucksack. A young man, still handsome, with his head shaved on one side. Before we start the interview, he takes me down to the side of the NatWest Bank, to a set of steps that lead to a bricked-off door. This is a favourite spot for homeless people to sit. It's the same stretch of wall where a well-known big issue seller was found dead last month.
I've been living in Camden for more than a year, so basically I should start my story from the other end, yeah, from the very beginning.
Okay.
I arrived to Scotland 10 years ago. Have been working hard in Scotland for 10 years. I had a really bad relationship, actually two in a row, and I was feeling like there was not that much work in Edinburgh. How much it is in London. So I came to London.
On his first night seeking a new life in the great capital, Michael got drunk and was robbed. He ended up in a homeless shelter, but he wasn't down and out yet. He found a friend to put him up and began looking for work. He's a fully skilled electrician, and soon his phone was ringing off the hook. He moved into his own place. After a year, he had enough saved up to be able to go on holiday to Poland. While he was there, he met a girl and stayed away longer than he had intended.
At some point, I'm actually coming back to home, and there are my suitcases in front of my doorstep. The girlfriend is gone, and the landlord is telling me I don't have any more access to the house. And it's a winter time.
Now homeless for a second time, Michael moved to Camden, into a cheap hostel. The second day on a new job, he broke his finger. Put his drill bit right through it, actually, so it's still a mess when he shows it to me now, crooked and lumpy. He tried to go back to work, but the doctor warned him not to.
The doctors keep saying, you're going to lose that finger or even the hand if you're going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to work. I'm being sacked.
Yeah.
So, I'm starting. That's where my homeless living started.
So Michael joined the other rough sleepers in Camden Town. The two men with sleeping bags spread out by the station, the drinkers on the steps of the bank, a group of three with their backs resting against Urban Outfitters window, the old man and the young man who follows him everywhere, begging and very clearly mentally ill. The sheer number of people has been growing. Between 2010 and last year, there has been a 100% increase in the number of people recorded as sleeping rough in Camden. And even though last year's number was very high, this year's is set to be even higher. I want to find out why people have to sleep on the streets in our society. What system is in place to help them? How does it work? And why does it not work for all of those who are left out night after night? That's why I'm talking to Michael.
I was unfortunate. Only one thing I was unfortunate with. When I was, for this year, when I was working in London, I was living in three places. All of them have been in South London, but all of them in different boroughs.
Yeah, so you need a connection to a borough.
I didn't have a connection.
This is perhaps the first thing you should know about the system that is in place to help people who are homeless. You will only get help from a local council if you can prove that you have a connection to the borough. It's called a local connection. Without one, the majority of homeless services are off limits, and all you will be offered is a ticket back to somewhere you are deemed to be connected to. Around 90% of the people sleeping on the street in Camden don't have this local connection. For Michael, that first year he spent working in London should have been enough to establish a connection with a borough. Unluckily for him, he moved from one borough to another to the next, and ended up connected to none of them. That's why Camden won't offer him a bed in a hostel. Why he's not allowed to have a wash in Spectrum, a day centre for the homeless in Camden Town.
Basically what Spectrum, the place which is around the corner, is supposed to help the homeless people, what they told me, even if you've been sleeping rough in Camden for a year or so, you may prove that you've been renting hostel for 2 months or so. It's not enough to have a Camden connection.
So they won't do anything for you?
They're people's actually coming to that place with cars full of washing. They have a place to stay and they're doing their washing there for free because it's for free. And I'm not allowed there to have a cup of tea or a shower. The biggest problem I've approached with finding a work, with sustaining the work, It's lack of shower, lack of washing facilities, and that I need to beg the money for at least first 2 or 3 weeks to get an Oyster card and at least some food and tobacco to work.
Yeah, so you're in a really...
Ask the government only for a place to shower, not for a place to sleep, for a place to shower and wash my clothes.
Do you think if you did have a connection to Camden, are the services here good enough? You know, if you had that connection, would they be enough to help you?
I would be off the street ages ago.
Drum and bass, stop. Roots and culture. Drum and bass. Drum and bass, stop. Drum and bass, stop.
The evening sun is covering the top of Camden Town. Below, on the pavement, an organisation called Streets Kitchen are handing out food to anyone who needs it. They've set up a table with 2 big urns, one for coffee, the other with minestrone in it. Large slices of cake are laid out on plastic plates. A small crowd is gathering around the table, enjoying the food and chatting. They mill about in groups the way people would at an office party. James is short, with neat dark hair, flecked with grey. He's got pale blue eyes and a baggy t-shirt. He says he'd be happy to talk once he's brought a slice of cake and a cup of tea over to Jane. I help him carry the tea over to where Jane sits on the ground near the station, slouched over, almost completely out of it from whatever she's been taking. I put the plastic cup by her side and help her hand to find it. 2 street outreach workers arrive to talk to her. She is now in floods of tears, her face crumpled by sadness. They comfort her. James and me go off to talk. We sit on the same set of steps Michael and me had sat on before.
Since I have been back from Ireland in 2011, I come back, I was with my partner and child, and I had been clean for 4 years by then. I think before we even come back, it was sort of over, but we was working away at nothing, I suppose. But yeah, once my relationship broke down, I was put in a hostel and it was full of users and stuff, and it dragged me back into it. I mean, I had people knocking at my door, and you know, it is what it is. You live in that sort of place, they think you're up to what they're up to. It's assumptions, isn't it?
It's been tough since then for James. He was sent to prison for 6 months, followed by 6 months probation. All the time he was on probation, he had nowhere to live except the streets, after he had a problem at a hostel.
If you're thinking about Camden now, what should they do to change for you? What's the biggest single thing they could change that would make things better for you?
Right, do you know what? I ain't gonna lie, at the moment, my problem isn't, I don't even know if it's Class A's or not. It's actually spice, yeah, legal high.
Spice is a synthetic form of cannabis. It was sold as a legal high in Camden Market until being banned earlier this year. A lot of the homeless people around Camden Town are hooked on it. It is stronger than cannabis, with side effects including death, hallucination, and psychosis.
But anyway, that's my actual addiction now. Now that just goes to show as well. They put that on the shop shelves, sold it to everyone, got them addicted and took it off the shelves and put it illegal, yeah? They give you this illness, you've got an addiction, now they're saying it's banned, you can't smoke it. But we've all been given this addiction.
James leaves me to check on Jane. I wait on the step, thinking about how it might feel to be sitting here for real, with nowhere else to go. After a while, James and Jane come back together.
I'm all for it, man. I will stand up. I'll talk about homelessness in Camden.
Say you're taking heroin, they'll give you a script. Do they give you anything for spice to help you come off it?
No, there's nothing they can do. They don't know the withdrawal symptoms. They don't know nothing. And at the end of the day, I remember 6 months ago saying to myself, I will never, what do I want to buy legal drugs for, you know? I'm just sort of, it's a 20-year-old drug addict, 20-year drug addict, yeah? And it got me. And I didn't think it would get me. Just like I didn't think drink would get me, though. I mean, creeped up on it. This drug is the same as crack, okay? There is no, medicine for it. There's no medicine for it. It's just psychosis, yeah?
Bouncing in and out of hostels, jail and the streets because of an addiction, like James and Jane do, is not uncommon, and it is very hard to escape. For Jane, she's been homeless and battling with addictions for 20 years of her life.
When I was 16, I never forget it. I was walking through here. Now, I've got 7 A's and 1 B in my GCSEs, I was walking through it.
Do you remember what they were? What subjects?
Yeah, of course I do.
What was it?
Yeah, English, maths, French, English knit.
What was your favourite?
Geography. My favourite was, I think French. Yeah, French or English knit. Yeah.
Do you remember any French? Parlez-vous français?
Oh, yeah. Quel âge as-tu?
J'ai 29 ans. 29 ans, oui.
Oui, j'ai... Alright, hold on.
Yeah.
30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
36. Oh, very good.
37.
A couple of weeks after I first met Michael, and I'm standing at the junction of Camden Town again, when a man veers out in front of me. He's topless. Tied around his neck is a very long piece of red and white barrier tape, the kind used on building sites. It floats out in the air behind him as he walks. I recognise it's Michael and follow him over to where he has sat down, beside a man with a woolly hat on and a lady organising her belongings in a shopping trolley. Michael introduces her to me as Kathy and says that if I want to find out about life on the streets, I should talk to her. The man in the woolly hat agrees. Kathy is thin, with a broad mouth that turns down. She's wearing red stockings that were a present from the old man who hangs around outside the World's End pub. She needs to charge her phone somewhere, so we head off to McDonald's to get a coffee and find a plug.
No, no, we could get that going.
Oh, I hope I've got my charger now. So
it's the whole point of coming, isn't it?
Yeah. So many different stories that we've all got. Some of us were beaten as kids, some of us were, you know, abused as kids, some of us were... some of us, like me, my child is in care.
Kathy became homeless after a breakup and a deep mental depression. At night, when she couldn't sleep, she began spending time with the homeless as a way of coping. Her own young boy was taken into care. She and her eldest daughter fell out so badly that Kathy left the flat. The streets have helped her, she thinks. They've made her stronger, she says. Before, she would have been at home in a depression on the sofa all day. Here, she has to get up or someone is going to give her a kicking. She's from Ealing, which means she doesn't have a Camden connection and can't access the services. Without her own family, she tries to be a mother to the other guys on the street.
Give them cuddles and that. They do get down, that, you know, I try and keep them off. They're angry still, you know, like, I try and sort of keep them calm and if I can. Normally a woman helps, I think. But I haven't got my kids, so I sort of mummy them.
What's it like, the street family, then? You said I've not had anyone, so can you tell me what you mean by that?
Well, I was living in the edge of a building, and there was John, who's now in prison, Robert, who's now in hospital, and Sam, bless his heart, who might even be dead now. Like, he won't survive there, I know he won't. But
and you were like a family together?
They're my brothers, yeah, my brothers. Well, John was like the bossy boots, I was like the mum. Robert was like a baby. My baby, he's not very well mentally. He's schizophrenic, but he's sort of he's in his 30s, but he looks like an 8-year-old when he sleeps. You know, like, he's got a lovely nature about him. He's very nice. Everyone loved him.
Kathy keeps touching her face while we're talking, like a nervous tic. I ask her what help she would like, and she says someone to talk to when the separation from her children becomes too much. In other words, some counselling is a first step to getting her life back together. But as long as she stays in Camden, where she has no connection, she's unlikely to get any. She says life on the streets is a tough life, of course. The way people look at you is hard to take, especially men who leer at her, assuming that because she is homeless, she must be a prostitute.
How do you like people to be? You said you like people just to say hello.
Yeah, for people to just walk past and say hello, you're right. Because if I saw someone sitting down on the street, I'd say, you're okay, babe, and I'd sit with them. I know not everybody's the same, but still, just a smile, and it's lovely to get a smile off people, because a lot of attitudes are quite negative towards me. If I'm desperate, like I said, I was very short of money, and I had to sit and beg. I don't sit and beg for drugs, I don't sit and beg for anything other than maybe my cigarettes, yeah. Sometimes maybe my drinking, but I don't drink very much. So, you know, it's mainly for food or just to have, you know, just have a couple pounds. I'm frightened of not having nothing on the street. It's hard. it's you have to pay for every cup of tea, you know, it's everything if you're not in a hostel. So to not have that money to get up the next morning and go and have a cup of tea is horrible.
We stop recording and sit talking for a while. Before I leave, she says that when people give her dirty looks, she thinks, "Don't look down on me like that. Why don't you give me your hand?"
You're listening to a download from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.